Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Lads, are you glued to your phone all the time? Well, don't feel too bad. It's not because you're thick. It's because nerds all over the world are paid loads of money to find ways to grab your attention. And a new documentary on Netflix, it's called The Social Dilemma, looks right into it for all of us. Here, have a listen to this.
Changes happening around the world because of these platforms. I think we were naive about the flip side of that coin.
We get rewarded by hearts, likes, thumbs up. And we conflate that with value, and we conflate it with truth.
If technology creates mass chaos, loneliness, more polarization, more election hacking, more inability to focus on the real issues, we're toast.
Ah, that sounds so scary. I couldn't watch it because I'm too scared to. But we got Sophie White to watch it and tell us all about it.
I bravely waded in.
How long is it?
It's like a feature length. It's just like, it's a solid couple of hours.
Oh, God.
It's okay. An interesting doc because it is a documentary with like talking heads and the whole kind of usual documentary vibe. But then they also have this kind of like mini film inside the documentary. So it's like a fictionalized kind of
family.
Drama. Yeah, sort of a family. And it kind of looks at the kind of destructive impact of social media on this family as we have all these kind of tech talking heads who are all like ex-Google, ex-Facebook, ex-Pinterest, ex-everybody, warning us of the dangerous, addictive nature of our apps and our devices.
So that's it in a nutshell. But so after watching it, are we all doomed to be slaves to our phones forevermore? Like, is that it? Are we just doomed? Is there anything we can do or can we do? Or
you're giving me such like Jen sad eyes that I feel like just being like, no, it's fine. They actually wrapped it up in a neat little bow. All we have to do is this. X. No. It's unfortunately, it is a knotty issue and there's kind of more questions than answers in The Social Dilemma.
Okay.
But like, I guess these guys, the kind of most famous of whom is Tristan Harris, who is a former design ethicist for Google. And he famously left Google to found this movement and this center called the Center for Humane Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And basically started lobbying government to make tech companies put warnings on their products, basically like the warnings that we have on cigarette packets now.
Okay.
So that's where he's trying to kind of, you know, like change public opinion and get like literally the kind of highest court in the land in the US, the Supreme Court, heard him out on this issue. And he was like, you know, if we don't deal with this, like other, you know, arguably other pandemic of social media addiction that's like, you know, swarming across the globe right now, we're going to be in serious trouble in a few decades' time.
Well, see,
just
that's
in time
the thing.
For our kids.
That's
terrifying.
The thing. We don't really, like, we're just in the middle of it now. We don't really know the effects as of yet. We kind of have an idea what it does to our mental health and our kids and makes us all anxious and panicky. But we don't really know as of yet. Or do we?
Well, I think what's emerged and what this documentary really helped to highlight was that I think we had been going along thinking that sort of like the addictive, like sticky nature of things like Twitter and Instagram was a kind of a, like accidental byproduct. And now what all these guys have come out and said is that no, they were from inception designed to be addictive.
Okay.
And therefore that it is like morally heinous that nobody was kind of giving warnings with, say, Instagram when you download it to your phone or Twitter, for example. And so they were even describing how some of the kind of functions of these apps, just like think about it, if you're like on Twitter, for example, and you're doing the pull down on your screen to refresh your feed, that emotion like deliberately mimics pulling down the lever on a slot machine. And the whole kind of, you know, mentality behind it is this is Vegas. This is like a slot machine mentality. We can keep them hooked. We can keep them pulling on the lever to refresh the feed to see what new thing to distract them with. And I suppose the big thing with anything on the internet, there's a great saying that is, if you're not paying for the product, which we don't with any of these kind of apps, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And this was, I think, like really well covered in The Social Dilemma, which is that like we all know now about like Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and disastrous data leaks and how we're being mined constantly for our data. And I suppose this was, it was the best representation, I think, of how these huge companies are doing God knows what with our information. And we are addicted. So we are just using blindly now.
Yeah. But the thing about it is all these guys from the trailer I saw, the ex-Google guy and the ex-Facebook guy who came up with the like button and all this kind of stuff. Did they all just suddenly get a conscience? Because they all started this. They were in it. They knew what they were doing at the time. So then it just seems like they left and went, oh, by the way, that thing I did years ago was really bad. And now I want to speak out about it, you know?
Yeah, I suppose I think that look, there was obviously intent when they were creating the product, because you make a product to be successful.
Yeah.
You have to make people want your product. But then I think like Tristan Harris very much got like a real kind of conscience suddenly a few years ago when he kind of could just see how social media was kind of eroding a lot of like human interaction and yes, having a bad effect on mental health. But I do think like it did take the 2016 election to really hammer home to a lot of these people that like actual social media stuff is, you know, affecting democracy.
Yeah.
And kind of threatening it.
So that happened. They kind of went, oh no, this is really bad. This is terrible.
They were like, oh no, wait, this isn't just an individual problem. Yeah. This is a cultural problem. This is like our civilization under threat. And so that's one of the things that they look at in The Social Dilemma is kind of the radicalization of one of the characters in the family. He's like the kind of teenage son.
Yeah, let's talk about that because you mentioned it, that there's a fictional family at the center of this to show how distracted different generations are. How well does that work?
Well, I mean, the acting is, I mean, well, are we here to critique the acting? Probably not.
Not great.
Look, it works kind of well. I think I always found it a bit hard to be like, how does just looking at Facebook make you suddenly, I don't know, like, you know, want to kind of become an extremist, you know? But I think it did work very well in kind of showing how ideas can just get repeated and reinforced through these social media apps. And it also kind of, I think, did quite a good job of kind of explaining the fake news.
And the scary stat there is fake news travels 6 times faster than real news.
Absolutely, because it's kind of peddled by outrage and, you know, we're more likely to share something that we're angered by or outraged by than something positive necessarily.
Oh, well, I've seen that in the last week. I have. Your book Unfiltered, there's a shameless plug for you there, right? Your book Unfiltered, it looks at this type of thing too. So I wanted to ask you, what is your own opinion? Is there any hope for us?
I think there is hope if we actually really engage with this problem. So in Unfiltered, I really wanted to kind of drill down into the addictive nature. And I wanted my main character, Ali, to go to this treatment program for her compulsive lying on social media, which is obviously a big phenomenon. We've seen a lot of that. And I went, you know, researching, like, do these kinds of things already exist out there? I wanted her to go to kind of like a traditional 12-step model. And I discovered, yes, it does already exist. There is a 12-step model for Tech and Internet Addicts Anonymous. There's also like residential inpatient programs for people who are trying to like get off their device, whether it's a tablet or a phone. And like these,
you never hear about this.
I know. Well, there is a great other documentary on Netflix that BuzzFeed produced. It was talking about how people were so addicted to devices that they were even seeing people coming in with problems like malnourishment because they were so deep into their devices, whether it's gaming or on social media or gambling. Mm-hmm. And like it's, you know, there's a great quote in The Social Dilemma that's about how the only industries to call their clients users are illegal drugs and social media apps. And
that's so true. My God, I never thought of it like that.
I know.
It's so scary.
It's all there in front of us if we're willing to look at it. Yeah. And I do think it's really, there's a lot of like unpleasant truths here. And I know a lot of people swear by the apps, ironic, that cure this by you download an app and it can quantify your sort of phone usage and tell you like that you literally spent, for example, 5 hours today on Instagram, which would easily be true for me. Mm-hmm. Instagram's my real problem. One, I stay well away from Facebook and I keep Twitter on my laptop so that I'm not on it on my phone. Mm-hmm. So that is like, there's lots of tips and tricks that people swear by. Like a lot of people talk about leaving their phones outside of the bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just don't know if I can cope with that because I sleep with it like cradled against me, like a little pet.
Yeah.
But I think trying to get some of your hobby activities off the phone is also really useful.
Yeah.
So like I was reading on my phone. My Kindle app was on my phone. So I've splurged and I'm going to buy an e-reader so that I actually have a fighting chance of getting the phone out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about buying alarm clocks and...
Do you know what I was going to do?
Do tell.
Have two phones.
Ah.
Because I remember working with Catherine Lynch and a couple of years ago and she had this Nokia 3210 thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, are things okay? Things going too well? Are you okay there? She was like, no. She's like, Jen, I'm totally addicted to Facebook. I can't get off it. So I just got rid of my phone. I got this little phone that I can text. People can call me. I can call them. And that does me. And she just totally eliminated it. I was thinking about getting two phones. So while I'm at work, do all the social media stuff and then just have my other phone at home.
The bat phone.
The bat phone.
Yeah.
I mean, that might work for me. But there are loads of tips. Was just actually doing them. Another way for you and your partner is just to scream at each other to get off the phone. Does that work? Not really. But it is a huge problem. And I find that it just makes me, if I'm trying to be better at it and not being on my phone, I get really angry with other people on their phone.
Who are then on their phones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband and I finished The Social Dilemma and we both were like really kind of righteously like, oh, well, I mean, we don't have these problems because obviously he works kind of tech adjacent. So he kind of would be quite familiar with a lot of the ideas explored in the documentary. And obviously I had done a lot of research for Unfiltered. And then we both obviously retired to our bed to lovingly stroke our individual phones for the rest of the night.
It is so... hard, but it's funny when you talk about the word user and the fact that it's like a slot machine when you're scrolling up or scrolling
absolutely,
down.
Absolutely,
frightening. What kind of give me more solutions? Just give me all the solutions you have there.
More solutions.
Is there any solutions offered in this documentary? Or
There's one memorable scene where the mother of the family, she buys this cookie jar that's got like a sort of a timed release. So she tries to seal all the phones belonging to all the members of the family away in the cookie jar. And she sets like an hour time limit on it so that they can have a family dinner without phones. And that culminates in the 11-year-old taking a hammer to the cookie jar device and smashing it to get her phone out. And so my kids are a good bit younger. Like my oldest is nearly 7 and I'm dreading. I realize that actually I don't know even the first thing about how bad this is going to get.
Yeah.
Because I definitely can see slightly older friends with slightly older kids having the
dilemma.
Arguments and the dilemma. Now, one brilliant thing is that the school, I don't know about you, but our primary school have a no phones policy.
That's really good.
So there isn't phones creeping in like 5th and 6th class. It's just an absolute like blackout ban.
So what are you going to do? What's the age?
Eventually happens.
Yeah, like when he comes to you and says, I want a phone at 12, let's say, what are you going to do?
Well,
look at this Nokia 3210.
I'm going to be like, here's an Alcatel, yeah. It's like a home brand Nokia 3210. I can call you, I can text you.
Tricky.
You may communicate with me, your mother solely.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to set him up with a pair of headphones and play The Creep Dive.
Okay.
My podcast.
Yeah.
To him from the beginning, which details all the nefarious things that happen online and how phones can open you up to all kinds of crazies on the internet. And I'm going to try and dissuade him.
It's a great idea.
But I'm also, I think our generation, I'm telling you, are going to be a real example to the Gen Zers because they just don't want to be us. They just think we're like terminally uncool.
Lame. Yeah.
And I'm kind of feeling, I feel optimistic that they're going to be wiser than we were.
do you think we're the big social experiment now and then they'll do a lot better?
Yeah, like they will learn by all our like embarrassing mistakes.
Great.
Maybe the selfie might be over.
Oh, please God.
Please God.
Please God. Well, thank you so much. The Social Dilemma is out now. It's on Netflix. Sophie White, thank you so much for coming in to chat and plug your book and your podcast. We'll be back right
it
after.
It was a two-in-one.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.